This is the FM Gold Channel of All India Radio. In the program News Analysis, we now bring you a discussion on government proposal on PPF accounts. The participants are Dr. P. Pullarao, economist, and Aditi Padnes, journalist.
The Finance Ministry has announced in a statement that there will be major changes in the Public Provident Fund account laws. According to the statement, relevant provisions of the Government Savings Certificate Act 1959 and the Public Provident Fund Act 1968 would stand subsumed in the new amended act without compromising on any of the functional provisions of the existing act. In simple English, it means that the government wants to merge the Savings Certificate Act 1959 and the Public Provident Fund Act 1968 with the Government Savings Bank Act 1873. That's what the statement says. What does this really mean? It means, number one, that anybody can open, that basically indicating greater flexibility in the operations of small savings schemes. It means that implementation for depositors, it will be easier. Depositors will no longer have to go through different rules and acts to understand the provisions of small savings and what governs them. The most important thing is the ability to prematurely close small savings certificate if subject to conditions of medical emergency or higher educational need or marriage or building of a house or some such thing. So you'll have to go to the post office, explain to the chief manager of the post office what your emergency is, and you can actually close a public provident fund account within a period of 5 years. Earlier, you had to mandatorily maintain the account for 5 years. But before we go into this change, we need to understand what public provident fund really is. Can you explain to us what PPF is?
If you go back, as you have said, we have this kind of government savings act from 1873, I believe. It's 150 years ago. Subsequently, after independence, they have created instruments so that people have a safe and secure avenue to invest money at an assured return, not only through banks, through the government institution, Provident Public Fund. It would vary in number of ways, and it was usually operational from the post office savings department. Post offices ran this account, I believe. And therefore, those were the times when such a need was there. Banking was limited. You needed new places where people can go and save their money. And naturally, in those days, people had a lot of faith in banks. Don't forget, before 1947, worldwide there was crashing of banks, the depression came on, there was very little confidence in private banks. So government rightly constituted a provident fund under its own control, which gave a certain amount of interest and also ensured that you couldn't break the fund, take off the money much before its maturity, because it wanted to encourage the savings habit, and essentially this was for your retirement, if I may say so. It was not something like a bank savings account where you kept it, withdrew the money, then put it. This was to ensure the safety net that it was there in the end after 7 years, 14 years. There were various time stipulations. So that was one of the purposes of Provident Fund, which I've just mentioned. And naturally, as time went by, new needs came about. Children had immediate needs, schooling, medical emergencies, all these things have come about. So they wanted to fashion something. Change in what was originally envisaged, I believe, was a retirement fund. A very dire need when you dipped into this under certain conditions after 7 years of operation. So along with progress, change of time, government obviously felt the need to bring in the changes which you have just mentioned earlier, various conditions, various changes which are contemplated by the merger of three or four major pieces of legislation into one, Government Savings Promotion Act. So there you have a transformation of a quasi-retirement fund into a more like a bank savings fund. But as the finance minister has taken the trouble of saying, the purpose of this change is to have minimum government, maximum governance. In keeping with the philosophy of this government, they want to get rid of redundant, superfluous laws, policies, agencies. I believe they have done so with hundreds of such laws or thousands. So this is one of the things where they merged three into one. And earlier, all kinds of discrepancies, problems came up in the Provident Fund with the nominee, with various things. They have attended to all of that. So we can't say that this is a Provident Fund. It continues, but with some improvements. at changes. So what you have essentially asked is there's no big change, but there's more convenience, more flexibility, and perhaps suited to the needs of the day. And that's where it stands today, how it goes through, what are the changes may be brought about when it goes through one of these consultative committees. We have to wait for that.
Provident Fund is supposed to be, as you pointed out, something that prevents you from being destitute after you retire and have no fixed income. But isn't it true that scheme itself provides significant part of the government's funds, which it then redeploys? Because after all, earlier these funds used to be locked in for a period of 15 years. So the government had recourse to money that it could redeploy in road building or insurance or for the public good. Obviously, when the government borrows from you and me and we put this in our savings, it pays a rate of interest. Now, that rate of interest is a cost to the government. With this scheme being now opened up and withdrawals becoming easier, won't the cost to the government come down? Because now it doesn't have to be mandatorily paying interest for 15 years. And all said and done, small savings continue to be A, not taxed in our hands, B, continue to have relatively a higher rate of interest than most other safe investment avenues.
What you say is government might also like to reduce its own burden of administration.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
To some extent. But at the same time, government does not want to give the impression that it is removing a much cherished social security net or safety net in our country. So I think they've tried to strike a balance. Balance of convenience for administration, reduce litigation, which has been their experience in the last 60, 70 years, and also fashion something for the modern times, what is required, and should government go on being, the post office itself has now become a reduced institution and is looking for new roles. Therefore, I don't think there is any deliberate purpose to reduce its financial burden, but it's a more way of convenient administration, how to cope with increasingly duties which are consumer-oriented, which may not be appropriate in this age, where there are numerous private banks, well-established banks, insurance companies, various others offering various schemes, cooperative credit societies, and even public sector banks. Banks are also fulfilling a very big role in encouraging savings and keeping it for you. Therefore, I don't think government is going back to such an extent, but government may also feel that in the future, that the kind of rigidities which were there earlier, naturally there would be a reduction of savings. And maybe also it simplifies the Income Tax Act and other things, whereby various instruments getting income tax concession, auditing that, is a very gigantic task. So I believe in the interest of simplification, modernization, such changes are very necessary and welcome.
There is a list of waivers, circumstances in which you need not keep your PPF in the post office for 5 years, you can withdraw it earlier. Now, isn't this rather redundant? Because after all, marriage, critical illness, I mean, these are all things which really, why not just introduce a blanket ban or a blanket lifting of this condition that you must keep your savings there for 5 years?
I think that's what government should also do. The minute you say there's some discretionary power with the chief postmaster or chief manager, again, you have to circumvent that if your need is genuine. And those who go for Provident Fund accounts are by nature very safe, salaried people who are assured of some income. They will not be indulging in wasteful expenditure. Government perhaps should have given a blanket permission. When you want to withdraw, you give a notice of 1 month, 2 months. Some restrictive elements should be there. But I think it does require a relook to make it easier, flexible, and you don't have to go for unnecessary permissions, including bureaucracy and unnecessary tension for the people to look for excuses and certificates. Therefore, that might be a very good consideration for the government to think of to make it even simpler than what they have suggested.
Because, for instance, if we give a certificate or if we give an application that there is critical illness in the family and I need this money, frankly, after I give it to the chief postmaster general, whoever it may be, I don't think it's ever looked at a second time by anyone else. So it seems a bit pointless to subject this to conditions and riders and so on. It is, after all, your own money.
No, absolutely. And if they want to modernize the system, if they want to bring this on par with how banks are functioning, that it's your money, you withdraw it with some conditions. This kind of asking for permissions and illness and trying to prove it is only burdensome for the applicant and burdensome for the administrator. It perhaps should be done away with, and the government should also see how they can make it even easier than person having to go directly to the Provident Fund account himself. There are all kinds of little glitches even now going on to get your account updated, to get your passbook updated. I hope and I'm sure they propose to make all that very simple, just like some modern banks operate. Perhaps it's already there in their intentions and how the rules are going to be brought out, that it makes all these things simple and redundant. What you have just said is such a accepted need today that I don't think government should even think twice of again instituting these subconditions of you bring this certificate and we'll consider it, there'll be a committee for that. I think that would be redundant and perhaps that's not their intention also.
Coming to the issue of managing personal finances, on the face of it, this instrument, the PPF, is an excellent instrument for, as you said, salaried people, but also ordinary people who have small savings and maybe they don't need the money immediately. It inculcates the savings habit and it also gives you a degree of tax exemption. Now, how does this instrument, the PPF, stack up against other savings instruments or other ways of investing money?
See, you have public sector banks. They are government-owned, but we have noticed that they are starting to sell shares. Maybe in a few years, government will be a majority stakeholder, but it would not be a 100% government-owned institution. On the other hand, this PPF will still be administered 100% by the government. That gives the edge to this PPF over others. That is fully backed by the government, and government also says that specifically, the finance minister has mentioned, everything is the same except it becomes easier for you. And at the same time, it's government protected. All the other protections are there. And perhaps it's much easier for a person to access post office than a bank in today also in many villages and elsewhere. So the post office will also get more mileage now. And we find they have not much to do. So this will continue. This is different from the savings in banks. This also gives you a greater degree. You know, when they say you can't withdraw it for this period, it does show and encourage savings habit and does make people think of the future. Don't forget, I think after the Japanese, the Indians have the highest savings rate in the world. And I believe the finance minister specifically mentioned that the saving habits of Indians should be encouraged, and that's why he has brought in the factor of children also. Now children can open accounts, children can also nominate somebody, and parents can put money in the children's account. The inclusion of children also shows that the government is keen that the Indians' habit of savings is encouraged, and children and school children also make this one of our unique characteristics, an Indian wanting to save money. So I don't think we should spoil that aura which we have, and I'm glad government has included children now, and there are some other sections who should also be encouraged so that the habit of savings comes naturally to Indians, which will lead to so many other things. There's ready money available for investment and all kinds of things. So it's a good habit, it's a good scheme, and government backing it 100% means it is unique from various banks and all other institutions.
At the moment, you can put a minimum of 500 rupees a month in the PPF, and the maximum that you can put in is 150,000 rupees a year. Do you think there's a case for increasing the upper limit, because after all, people are earning a bit more and it's a good thing to save?
Absolutely. 150,000 is too little, considering that the value of the rupee has fallen or incomes have gone up. So there should be a bigger limit, even when credit cards I allowing you to have a withdrawal limit of 4 lakhs and 5 lakhs. I think this should also be considered. You should make it more accessible that way, because higher income individuals may also start participating in this, using it as one of their main saving avenues.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
You were listening to a discussion on government proposal on PPF accounts. The participants were Dr. P. Pullarao, economist, and Aditi Padnis, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. This program is also available on our website, newsonair.nic.in. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.